This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast. And it's Leo season, and we're here to celebrate, and I'm here with Vanessa Montgomery. Hey, Vanessa.
Hey, Tony. Hey, everyone, and happy Leo season. So I'll start off with what every Leo ever born would have wanted to hear in their lifetime. And the Oscar goes to the Academy Award, the Logie. Everyone, all of you get one. So, of course, Leo is the entertainer. It's fixed interpersonal fire. So interpersonal, you know, every Leo needs a good audience. And of course, we all have Leo in our chart somewhere, if not at least one placement. You know, Tony, you've got one. I've got one. Maybe the listeners have one. Maybe they don't, but there's Leo somewhere. So that sun is in that part of your chart right now. And that might be where you want some attention, some acclaim, maybe a little bit of an Academy Award-winning performance, you know, and the acclaim that goes with that too. I love that idea. Leo is very fun to play with, that's for sure, to make fun of, but also to revere, which, you know, I enjoy. It's such a playful vibe as it is. So it definitely draws that out in me anyway when I think about it. So Leos know how to give and receive compliments, gifts, offerings, dance partners, dance parties. And I love that in the Northern Hemisphere, it is the height of summer. It's hot, the sun's out, it's warm. It's such a happy vibe. Of course, it's the middle of winter here in Australia, but I'm doing my best with my Laurel Canyon look, my Luke.
You're definitely rocking the look today.
And there's a casualness to it as well as a dressy one. So the Leo motto is I express. And I love that Madonna classic Leo. One of her most famous lines is express yourself, don't repress yourself. And she had her Leo motto right there, and it's really caught on. It's something that I use a lot in my horoscopes and my writing when dealing with Leo, because that's what they're here to teach us. So that part in your chart that the sun's lighting up this month is where you do need to express yourself, work on your talent. So it's the entertainer, the star, the monarch, the VIP, ruled by the sun. And this is a really important thing for us all to remember as well. The sun is about centering yourself in your own experience. Obviously, understanding others, I don't mean in a narcissistic way, but centering yourself is something that over last year particularly and this year has really come up with people that are maybe not centered in the media that we consume, and that's a lot of people. So just remembering that and perhaps consuming other forms of entertainment that do center other experiences, and that opens up our own concept of ourselves as well, which, yeah, is a really important thing to remember for the sun centering. So I think of a strong Leo vibe. I think of the boomers with the Pluto in Leo, actually. You know, and they were so big on entertainment. Boy, do they center themselves. And, you know, there's a lot of positives around what they can teach us as well. The pitfalls, of course, of Leo is, you know, really seeking that people-pleasing and seeking that acclaim and not just being, you know, expressing your true self and what lights you up. You know, you're trying to think about what lights the audience up, which is not, it's going to fail in the end. So if you go with what, you know, you lead from your center, what lights you up, that automatically is going to be picked up by other people that it resonates with. So something to, a way to think about it for, you know, leaning into authenticity, which is a big thing these days. Of course, the pride and the ego, there's healthy pride, healthy ego, it's so important. And then there's not healthy. It's covering up a not healthy version. I guess a fear of being outshone, you know, rather than shining together, lighting the way for other people just by doing your thing and appreciating other people shining. Because, I mean, I have sun in the seventh house, I would say this, but it's just so, it's such a mutual appreciation club when you're able to appreciate someone, you know, centering themselves and shining from that position and astrology teaches us by, you know, understanding someone else's chart, how they're doing that, why they're doing it, and just really appreciating that they're doing it differently than you probably would because you're a different mix. Anything to add to that, Tony?
I was just reading before we started. I was reminded that Leo can sometimes speak to father issues and father dynamics. And I also just think ego issues and formation of self and how important that is and how it's not just something that comes out fully formed. Sometimes you read these Leo descriptions in the books and they just describe somebody who's all ego, but ego is something that you can develop and something you can grow into. And ultimately, of course, you know, there's this wonderful motto that we have now, if you can't love yourself, how are you going to love someone else? And a lot of folks say that. I'm hearing the RuPaul version in my head for some reason right now. RuPaul's not a Leo, RuPaul's a Scorpio, but that's a Leo kind of sentiment. And it's also Leo medicine and Leo magic, because if you can turn on that internal generator, heart generator of love for self, then you have this kind of natural generosity for others as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point. And that's true. The heart and that solar plexus too, when you're, again, with that centering idea, when you're centered in that and you're stable and you're not sort of centered in an external place, you know, it is so easy to radiate and appreciate others and not feel threatened. There's the drama. We have to mention the drama. I guess that goes with the Academy Award.
I always think that Leo can correlate with drama, a certain kind of drama. And I think of it as a good kind of drama, like a good kind of, like if someone speaks and they're, you know, telling you a story and they do it without drama, you know, it can be boring. What do we say? It's boring.
Yes,
you know? Yeah. So a certain amount of drama spices it up and makes it more engaging to listen to. And of course, you know, Sagittarius is the great storyteller, I think, but Leo can present with a certain kind of drama and a flair that captures our attention. But when Leo is mixed with Scorpio, we get a little bit more like soap opera drama level, I think.
That's a good point. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it makes me think too, again, you know, the ruling planet really helps with the formation of the idea of this kind of archetype and being able to hold that attention, being able to hold the light and hold the sun of attention, I think with that drama is so important. And it's a great gift that Leos do have for any of us that can be a little shy or feel safer in the shade, or when you get the attention, you don't know what to do with it. And again, it has to be so centered. And that's that fixed, to me, that's that fixed fire of Leo. They're centered, they're the hearth, they have people that come around them and are warmed by them. They are, you know, if they have a talent, which is a good thing I always say for people with Leo kids, like get them to work on their talent so they have something to draw people in with, or they're going to be really annoying and just seek attention and it won't reward them. It's, you know, give them something where it helps them shine. And again, for all of us, and particularly with that area of Leo in our chart, how do you draw people in there? What is it? Is it with drama or is it with a talent that you're sharing and contributing and then get that love back? And yes, you mentioned generosity. It is a very generous sign. Very beautiful, very warm when it's balanced. And I'll mention strength, like in the tarot, that strength card. Leo is so, it's a strong sign, isn't it? There's something very, to me, it's like quite primal and animalistic. So let's move. Are you ready to move on to classic signs or do you have something else to say?
No, I was going to ask, who's your classic Leo?
Gosh, there's so many, isn't there? I was looking through all the Leos, and of course, there's so many in entertainment or with fame around them, right? Even if it's a Leo moon or of the rising. But I found a few that were sort of doubling up. And one thing I came across was from the X-Files, Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny, I think that's how you say his name, are both Leos with moon in Aquarius. They were Astro twins.
Wow.
Isn't that bizarre? So I thought that, you know, they're both in this show. There's the Leo and there's the Aquarius moon coming through. With the X-Files, it was all about aliens. So, and of course, you know, we've got the full moon is in Aquarius, so I chose them. With that, I mean, we're going into the Aquarius here, But just looking up Gillian Anderson's quotes, I was learning more humanitarian sort of issues that I didn't really know that much about, because that's, of course, part of what she's quoting. And she was talking about humanitarian stuff with kids. And there's, to me, that's the Leo as well, that awareness of children and childhood and, yeah, that they're missing out on that for particular reasons. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, when I was looking at the list, I was just thinking, this is just a moment where we have to celebrate the Leo archetype, because there are so many amazing people to choose from in the entertainment sector. And I went with one of my favorites always is Jennifer Lopez. I love how she expresses herself. And I really love her in that dancing show. I can't remember the name of it right now, but she's a judge on a dancing talent show. And she is such a warm and wonderful judge, obviously a dancer herself. And you've talked about last year when we did this podcast for Leo season, you talked about Leo and dance, and she's a wonderful dancer and so expressive. And she's so generous to and warm to the other folks. And that's a Leo who really loves themselves, right? The generosity is coming from a special place. She's not a judge on a talent show so that she can be, you know, like, well, look at me, and, you know, and sort of tower above everyone else. And she is there to offer support and warmth and to help other people shine their light. And that's just so beautiful. I love that so much. And then Charlize Theron and Viola Davis, because I couldn't pick one.
it's really hard.
So I have quotes from these three powerhouse women, and from J-Lo, you've got to do things that make you happy. As women, we tend to give away a lot. We take care of a lot of people and we can't forget to take care of ourselves. So I love that one. And this one's from Charlize Theron. What most people don't realize is that no matter how others see you, you have to wake up to yourself every morning. And I really love myself. I'm comfortable in my skin. So another person who's kind of done that inner Leo work perfectly. And then Viola Davis, there's a scene from a TV show she did called How to Get Away with Murder that I wrote about on my blog, where, you know, she's a just powerful presence. She doesn't even have to kind of say anything. She just has to step onto the screen and you're like, wow, you know. Anyway, there's a scene where it's a very dramatic scene. The show is kind of like a soap opera. And at the end, she just takes off her wig and takes off her makeup and is staring at herself in the mirror. And again, just with all acting and no dialogue. And it's so, so powerful. Anyway, this is her quote. There's no prerequisites to worthiness. You're born worthy. And I think that's a message a lot of women need to hear. Some really great quotes. And I'm just going to run through a list of some other great Leos: Whitney Houston, Maya Rudolph, Kate Bush, and Tori Amos. You know, when Tori Amos came along, they were saying that she sounded a lot like Kate Bush. There's some very interesting connection there. Lawrence Fishburne, a wonderful actor named Geraldine Chaplin, James Baldwin, Isabel Allende, amazing writer, and Kristen Wiig. And like you said, there are a gazillion others. Tell us what's going on with these moons this month. I feel like there's some Leo action coming our way.
There's definitely some Leo action. So, of course, high drama. As soon as the sun goes into Leo, the very next day, you know, we're popping this full moon in Aquarius, of course. So it's an intense entry into the room, basically, when you're coming in hot with the full moon in tow. So that kicks it off. That's July 23rd. That's New York time at 10:37 p.m. So we have got Pluto at 25 Capricorn. So it's still in sign. It's still in orb with a 6-degree orb. So to me, that suggests extra intensity. So Leo's all about being extra, right? So this full moon is definitely extra, because that means that Pluto's also opposite the sun. So it adds intensity. It may add depth. It may be a bit of a purge, some kind of emotional purging as well. It may perhaps add to drama. Like, there's still so much going on in the media that's anxiety provoking. So there might be something that just really hits you. Just remember, it's a really intense astrological moment too. So just take that Aquarian moon, full moon in Aquarius, moment of detachment. Don't center yourself perhaps so much in it, and think about that bigger picture, which is always the lesson of that polarity with that Aquarius and Leo. So that polarity is really important. What else is happening here? Neptune is going to be trine Mercury by 1 degree just at that moment. So that empathy and unity and breaking down of division, dissolving, could help a little as well. Saturn is in a 9 degree orb with the moon, straddled by Pluto and Saturn. It's a little intense, let's put it that way. So, yeah, just remember that the polarity, lean into that polarity. Personally, I'm going to try something called selenomancy, which is scrying with the moon. So I'm going to get this bowl of water with my friends. I've got them lined up for Saturday, and look at the reflection in on the top of the water and just sort of see what comes to me. Get my modern mystic on. And one of those friends is a Scorpio with everything in the eighth house. So I think she's going to be great at it. And the other is a Cancer whose name is Celine. So we're all going to have a go.
Wow, that's amazing. That is so cool. You'll have to tell us what happened next month.
Yeah, I will. I will. I'm really looking forward to it. So, of course, it's interesting that Leo and Aquarius are associated with the individual at the end of the day, but it's in different ways. So it's an individualistic sign, but then there's that idea of the group. So getting that polarity and that balance on the full moon is actually great for these times, I think. Where do you fit into everything? But then what's your responsibility? What's your role? Where do you need to lead and shine your light and model by your actual actions or your words or your response to things as well? So as the X-Files say, the truth is out there, Tony. and then we have a new moon in Leo. That's at 16 degrees Leo on August the 8th at 9:50 a.m. It will be square Uranus, which is at 14 Taurus, and trine Chiron at 12. So, of course, the new moon in Leo, where is 16 degrees in your chart? That's where you can set those intentions on, yeah, wanting to shine, maybe centering yourself, tap into those Leo qualities and intend to roll them out over the year. Confidence is a big one. Like, we haven't quite mentioned that yet. The confidence that it takes to step out and just give something a go, to express yourself. It's yang fire. You know, shoot the fire out, see what happens. You'll probably warm people. Make sure you don't burn people. There's two sides of that. And then, yeah, with Uranus, I guess it can be, you know, Uranus and square could be that sudden, unexpected sort of freaky move, or it could be that you're not received the way you want to be received, and, you know, you smash your tennis racket and throw the drama and walk off, storm off the tennis court. To me, that's a Uranus square. So how are you going to, or what comes up at the time that you need to integrate in your experience, and that particularly that expression of self, you know, rather than react to something because you feel like it's not going your way, don't just throw a tantrum, like think, not like a two-year-old, you know, what am I not doing right here? Am I not in alignment with myself actually? You know, and just have that confidence and own it. And remember, not everyone has to like what you do. You do, though. So that's a big one. And then, of course, we have a second, well, I guess they call it a blue moon once it's, well, that's more in the same month, but let's say in the same sign. So that would be around the 22nd. And it will be interesting to see if similar themes come up that were around on the first full moon. So take note and check that. This is where it's really interesting to keep at least a really basic diary with dates so that you can start to look back and look at themes that seem to circle round. And then you have more idea about what you're working with and can take a bit more control of that rather than being like a little boat swept around. you know, it gives you a bit more of a rudder and a framework to capture those cycles. So full moon at 29 degrees Aquarius and Jupiter's at 26. So that's conjunct Jupiter and Aquarius. Nice one. I think that's we get a good second go at something with that one. So perhaps even intentionally sit with whatever you want to be revealed by the full moon's light and, you know, maybe set like by the end of this season, I want this to happen, or I'm going to have done these things to make this happen, and just really go at it. So, yeah, I'm just thinking about what could I do in a month? You could do a lot, actually. All right, so next we have the headlines. What are the headlines this week, Tony?
Well, the big aspect all year is still Saturn in Aquarius, square Uranus in Taurus. And aside from that, we have, what I'm mostly going to talk about today are some ingresses. We have a lot of ingresses this month, and so we'll spend some time with those. But just touching in on the Saturn Uranus square, we had the second exact pass of this, you'll remember, maybe on June 14th. And then we get one more in late December. So we'll be talking about it all year. And while there's an outer planet aspect coloring a long time period like this, like the Saturn Uranus square, it's worth noting the triggers by the faster moving planets. And those you can think of as accelerating the storyline of whatever that Saturn Uranus square is about. And there's a big highlight day on that front this month, and that's August 1st, which features a trigger as the Sun and Mercury are conjunct in Leo, and they oppose Saturn while squaring Uranus. And Uranus is also conjunct the moon there briefly. So this could be a very tense day emotionally or mentally with the energy of a fixed T-square. And that just means you might feel stuck in a problem, and any solution that you come up with might feel like a catch-22. Like, well, I could do this, but that won't work because this, and then you feel stuck. So they're not necessarily easy to resolve, but T-squares are aspects of creative tension. So it can always be worth sitting with the challenge rather than throwing in the towel too early, because you might need a little bit of time to work it out. That's more medicine coming from fixity as well. Fixity takes a little bit of time to be with. It's not something you process really quickly. With Mercury conjunct the Sun in Leo in this mix, you might also dramatize your words a bit. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Using a little flair to make your point can sometimes help your voice be heard. But those on the other side might not appreciate the dramatic flair, and the aspect here with Saturn kind of speaks to that as well. Mercury will hang out in this mix for a couple of days as it applies to square Uranus on the 3rd, on August 3rd. And I think that kind of pokes the revolutionary energy of Uranus through communication. So again, your words might poke the beehive a little bit, so to speak. Jupiter is retrograde right now, and it's moving back through the early degrees of Pisces as we speak until July 29th, when it moves back into Aquarius. Now, I'm wondering if we're going to see a shift in the optimism we've been feeling of that opening up after COVID vibe that many of us have had in the collective. And now I know that not every country has been allowed to experience that, but it's been sort of trying to happen, and it has been happening in many places. So I'm wondering if we're going to see a shift in that as Jupiter goes back into Aquarius, covering ground that it covered before. And also if we'll have a little correction on the inflation that we've been seeing as well in the economy. I think if we do get a correction on that economic inflation, it'll be a short one because Jupiter's just in Aquarius for the rest of this year. And then when it goes back into Pisces at the very end of this year, it's going to be moving toward a conjunction with Neptune in Pisces, which is kind of a peak that happens next April. And I think inflation will probably come back in a big way right around then. So my advice is, knowing that's coming down the line in the future, plan accordingly in as much as you're able to. And we can talk more about Jupiter in Aquarius next month, since it'll spend the rest of the year there. So we'll just stop there for now and go into the ingresses. And on July 21st, we have Venus entering Virgo. Now, I know Venus in Virgo gets a bad rap. I'm curious to hear some of your thoughts on this, Vanessa. But one thing a friend pointed out to me who is in fashion was that a lot of fashion models have Venus in Virgo. And she said that to me recalls this idea that Venus might have to do with the perfection of beauty. Any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I guess, I mean, each sign has their own Luke, but I guess the Virgo is about perfection, but it's also a really stylish sign. I think about you know, the Neptune cycle and when Neptune was in Virgo, Hollywood had these beautiful sirens coming out. There was all this beautiful streamlined fashion. It was really glamorous. They take the time to get their lighting right. They take the time to set things up and get things beautiful. And it's, you know, it's a beautiful streamlined tailored look as well. I think that's probably part of it. That's my take on that.
Yeah. And it's a good time to get a little bit more particular. If we're talking about fashion with fashion, I guess, and pay attention to the little details a little bit more. And you may just find yourself doing that. You might feel a little bit disappointed with certain details as well. And that's all part of the mix there. And then on July 27th, Mercury enters Leo. So we've got another planet joining in the Leo party there and helping us express ourselves, as Vanessa talked about earlier. And then on July 28th, I already mentioned Jupiter goes back into Aquarius. Depending on your time zone, the date can be the 28th, 29th. On July 30th, Mars enters Virgo. So Mars is joining the Virgo party. So now we've got two planets in Virgo and this Leo energy going at the same time. And then because Mercury is moving really quickly now, on August 11th, Mercury enters Virgo as well. And then on August 15th, Venus changes signs again as well, because Venus is also moving rather quickly and Venus moves into Libra. Anything you want to say about Venus moving into Libra, Vanessa?
Well, I'm going to go back to the Virgo because it was really interesting during Cancer season to have that blend of Cancer and Leo. It was really smooth. It took the edges off Leo, I thought, like the Leo vibe, and it gave a bit more flair to Cancer. And now we're going to have Leo season, but with this mix of Virgo. And I'm just thinking about, yeah, it's really about refining your shine and certainly taking the care. Like there's that exuberance of Leo and that show personship, but the Virgo is going to come in and make it better, basically. So I think that's it's nice combination when you get this mix of signs. So then going into Libra, if we're still with that Leo vibe, it's coming up really showy again. It's bringing warmth to relationship. I quite like that as well. You know, it's bringing that, you know, wanting to relate and find your audience, especially with the Venus being in Libra. Also, yeah, I think with the fashion too, you know, that beauty and still shining with that. So it's just in a different vibe, but we'll have it all refined and an eye on detail because of that Virgo placement. What a quick, they're really moving quickly, aren't they?
Yeah, really quickly. And if you've been listening to us for a while, I don't usually have that many ingresses to mention, and we have a lot of them this month. And I like what you were saying about the Virgo-Leo blend. I think in the natal chart, sometimes when you see that mix, the Virgo can keep the Leo in check, but on the shadow side, Virgo can also bring Leo down too many notches. You know, Leo really is here to shine. And if there's too much inner self-criticism, it can kind of prevent the Leo from taking up as much space as they're really meant to. And that plays into the Leo dynamic of a fear of rejection, which I feel is really strong in Leo. It's kind of high stakes for Leo to take up space because they need that feedback from the audience, if you want to call it the audience, even if it's an audience of one. And if Virgo is in there, you know, in someone's natal chart as well, and it's the voice of criticism, self-criticism, it can really play into that dynamic in a way that holds people back. So in the collective, I think we'll get to work with some of these energies as well this month.
I'm going to come in there and say that is such a great point. Particularly of what that blend can teach us, because a lot of very successful people, I do hear them say, like, if you're not prepared to fail, you're not going to get anywhere. Like you've got to be prepared to fail. It's like, it's testing. You're always testing. You're always growing. You never make that one point. Like you don't want to stagnate. And the Virgo can really help us with that. Unless, like you said, the shadow side, it stops us. So just have that reframe, like, okay, I just hit a wall there. No, tweak it. And Tony, you always say tweaking with Virgo. Okay, tweak it and let's go this way. Like can do.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that brings us to the declination report. And for that, I want to start by talking about the moon out of bounds. And we're going to revisit some territory we covered earlier and add a little bit of flair to it in honor of Leo season. And the moon is going out of bounds every month right now. So those dates are this month, or rather this Leo season, are from July 20th to 23rd. And during that time, the moon will travel through, it'll be in Sagittarius. When it goes out of bounds, it'll go through Capricorn. And then just at the very beginning of Aquarius, before it goes back in bounds, and it will be out of bounds right at the full moon in Aquarius on July 23rd, around 9 p.m. here in Colorado. I do talk about this briefly on YouTube. So if you haven't been watching the Astrology University YouTube channel, head over and check it out, because I've been putting out videos on Mondays and Thursdays. They're short videos. This one, I think, is about 3 minutes. Some of them are about 5 or 6 minutes, so they're pretty easy to digest. And then the moon goes out of bounds a second time from August 4th to 7th, and the moon will be traveling through, starts out in Gemini, out of bounds on the 4th at about 23 degrees Gemini is when it goes out of bounds. And then on August 7th, it'll just cover the first couple of degrees of Leo before it goes back in bounds. And that'll, so it'll hit Leo at 2 degrees and go back in bounds. And then one more period. So we get three during Leo season, just like we get two full moons, we get three out of bounds periods. And the last one is from August 17th, while the moon's in Leo, through August 20th. And that one wraps up with the moon at 2 degrees Aquarius. So a lot of Leo action on a lot of fronts this month. So we're all going to get to really explore and develop in that area of our life. Well, that takes us to the parallel aspects this month as part of the declination report. And parallel aspects are a lot like conjunctions in terms of your experience of them. And then we like to look at parallels as astrologers to find those times when there is a parallel of declination at the same time as a conjunction. And we have one of those this month. But the first parallel I want to talk about is Mercury parallel Uranus, and that's August 7th and 8th. Mercury is going to be separating from a square to Uranus during that time. So it's not one of those that's conjunct and parallel. But this is a good example of a time when you can get a little bit of this Mercury-Uranus vibe that might feel like Mercury and Uranus are conjunct, and you wouldn't see this unless you were using declination. So there's a connection between Mercury and Uranus on this level. And whenever Mercury and Uranus come together, communications speed up, and just there's speed in general. Things tend to move at lightning speed. Then on August 18th to 20th, we have Mercury parallel Mars, and that is at the same time as a conjunction in Virgo. The conjunction starts around August 17th is when it starts to get very close, and it goes through the 19th. So the 19th, which takes place while Mercury and Mars are conjunct in parallel, is the most potent day of this combo. This is a great day for putting your improvements into action. Remember, these both of these signs are in Virgo. So if you get an idea for an improvement and you use your Mars to just put it into action. Now, I will say that if you offer a criticism on this day, make sure that it's constructive and lean toward taking action yourself versus just calling someone else out. Although sharing constructive criticism tactfully is also a good use of these energies as well. It'll just be a little bit harder to be skillful than usual with Mercury and Mars in such a tight aspect. All right, well, that takes us to our nonprofit break. And each month we feature a nonprofit on our podcast that we support with a donation and that we also encourage you to support if you're so called to. And this month, our featured nonprofit is the Natural Resources Defense Council, otherwise known as NRDC. And they work to safeguard the Earth. Pretty nice mission there, including its people, its plants and animals, and the natural systems on which all life depends. So a very crucial mission. The NRDC combines the power of more than 3 million members and online activists with the expertise of over 700 scientists, lawyers, and policy advocates across the globe to ensure the rights of all people to the air, the water, and the wild. Join their mission by heading over to nrdc.org, and I hope you consider making a donation today. Well, that takes us to Opportunity Knocks, and the first opportunity transit I wanted to call your attention to is Mercury trine Neptune on July 24th, and Vanessa alluded to this one earlier. This is a water trine from Mercury in Cancer to Neptune. I think this is a great aspect for reflecting on your own experience by journaling on this day. And it's also a great time to initiate heartfelt conversations with people you're close to or care about. It's a great time to express your feelings and check in on their feelings. Now, don't forget to spend time both talking and listening while expressing your Mercury, and be tuned in and be a compassionate audience when you're on the listening side of that equation. Anything you'd like to add to that, Vanessa?
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful flow. Binge on musicals, write poetry, listen to music. It's very creative, isn't it?
Definitely. We talk about these every month, but it's another one of those aspects that's really great for creative writers. I know I've been saying this a lot, but you know, when Mercury leaves Cancer, we're going to go into some different territory. So yeah.
Wait, well, you can.
Exactly. This is a very special one. And then on August 3rd, Venus is trine Uranus. And this is an Earth trine from Venus in Virgo to Uranus in Taurus. So this energy can be used constructively and tangibly, being in Earth. And Venus in Virgo can be expressed, as we were saying earlier, as the perfection of beauty, among other things. So you might just make some kind of improvement toward that end or suggest one on that day. Creative insights are possible, and they might come by making previously unexplored connections that you hadn't considered before. And you shouldn't have to try too hard. Just get out of your own way and let Uranus do the work for you. To weave in Uranus intentionally, think of liberating something or disrupting the flow in order to create something that will ultimately be more harmonious. Ronald Davison described this aspect as one with the potential for ecstasy in relationships. So let's hold that potential for sure. A little burst of ecstasy after that T-square skirmish on August 1st will probably be quite welcome.
Well, we always joke about the Venus Uranus square with, you know, getting a haircut. So this is the day to get that haircut. It's going to work out great. If you want a new look, it's definitely a good one for updating your look or going shopping with something a little out of the box that still works though, that you won't have buyer's regret about later.
I have to say buyer's regret is quite common with Venus in Virgo. I have that natally. So maybe if you buy something with Venus trine Uranus that day, keep the tag on for a couple of days just to make sure.
Just in case. It's a trine though. So yeah.
It should work out.
Yep.
Vanessa's right. It's a good day to be bold with your choices, I think.
Yeah. And you're going to have an eye on the details. So I think being in Virgo will be helpful. Like imagine if they were in Aries, you probably would have some buyer's regret.
Right. Well, since Uranus and Pluto are both in Earth signs right now, as Venus is moving quickly, Venus is going to make a trine to Pluto as well. And that'll be on August 11th. And that'll be a trine from Virgo to Capricorn this time. Anything you'd like to say about that one, Vanessa?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, because I've been writing so many horoscopes with two weekly ones now, I'm just used to looking at something and writing something really quickly. So I went through all of this month's aspects and wrote a couple of lines just automatically. So for this one, I wrote deep or powerful connection, certainly, you know, that with that trust element, a powerful and magnetic evening or person or connection. Like Pluto is magnetic, and with Venus trining, that's very nice, you know, feeling it on a deeper level. You know, it's not conceptual, intellectual, it's like a physical magnetism or feeling. So date night.
Yes, that's a good one. And then on August 11th, Mercury enters Virgo. And I think of this as an opportunity transit because Mercury's entering a sign that it rules. It's thought to be especially strong in Virgo and also utilizing some of Mercury's best gifts. Mercury's trine aspects to Uranus on August 20th and August 26th will be especially potent because of that as well, because of the Earth energy there, just like it was with Venus. Well, I want to call your attention to some electional days this month as well. And the first is on July 21st, which is likely today if you're listening to the first day we released this podcast. So my apologies if you missed it. So on July 21st, there's a contraparallel between Venus and Jupiter. And this is another declination aspect. And this one is thought to be a bit like an opposition. And it's quite fascinating because that's taking place while Jupiter and Venus are in an opposition all throughout the next day. So they're opposite and contraparallel. That's a lot like being conjunct and parallel. So it's a very strong opposition on that day. Now, any Venus-Jupiter contact can be a good one and a fruitful one. Although with the opposition, you'll need to take some extra precautions in case you're led into maybe an unrealistic or exaggerated idea or choice due to wishful thinking. Jupiter is in Pisces, remember, and it may ask for a leap of faith here, but don't take one that you don't think you can handle if it doesn't work out like the fantasy that you're envisioning in the moment. So have a little bit of forward thinking as well, and you should keep yourself on track with no problem. On this day, you also get a fiery moon trine Mars aspect, although the moon will be square Neptune at the same time, which speaks to cloudy circumstances that you might not foresee at the time and a need to use your intuition, because there's something you might not be seeing clearly and might not get to see clearly, but your intuition will have to be your guide and your main resource. So on the 21st, there are some opportunities to leap before you look or to jump into things without grounding yourself. And at the same time, there could be some nice juice here for some forward momentum on something you've been trying to get off the ground. In August, check out the 18th when you might be able to get something going really quickly or jumpstart a project because Mars is going to be trine Uranus on that day. You might also look for ascendants in those charts that are ruled by Mercury or Venus because both of those are going to be in signs they rule at the time. Mercury will be in Virgo and Venus will be in Libra. So those could be good signs to get on the ascendants. You might try a Taurus ascendant or a Libra ascendant or a Gemini or Virgo ascendant. Mercury is applying to a conjunction with Mars in that trine to Uranus. So be prepared for things to move very quickly. Make sure you're ready if you hit that go switch.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about like a quantum leap. You know, it's Uranus and Mars. So I'm thinking sci-fi when you just sort of leap and then they move through some sort of time tunnel or whatever to this other place. It's definitely possibly a way to jump to a next level or something. Certainly get yourself out of the box with anything that's a smooth aspect to Uranus if you've been stuck on something or, yeah, you want to get a lot of distance in a short amount of time. I like the go factor that you mentioned.
Well, that takes us to what's on your coffee table. So what are you reading right now, Vanessa?
Well, actually, I have been reading another Demetra George book because I like her insights. She's such a master at this stage in life. And I'm reading Astrology and the Authentic Self because it's integrating traditional and modern astrology to uncover the essence of the birth chart. And she weaves in those traditional astrology ideas and she really breaks down a chart and reads it all in order. So it's great for beginners or also anyone just wanting to get that vibe that's a modern astrologer looking into too traditional. I am struggling a little bit with the good and bad. It's, you know, this is a good house, this is a bad house and things like that. I definitely am. But she does talk to that as well because she's a blend of modern also. So a great starter on those. What about you, Tony? What are you reading?
I am reading Aspect Pattern Astrology by the Hubers, Bruno and Louise and Michael. Anyway, it's a classic book. It's a book we're using in our Aspect Patterns course that's coming up that starts on August 18th. And I love this printing of the book. I was reading in the introduction when they originally did the book, they couldn't do color printing. And this was, so it was really, I think, probably nice for them that they were able to do that. And if you're watching the video, I think, where's the camera there? You can see the charts have color in them and they use the color to help make the point about the elemental blend, for instance, in a particular aspect pattern and how that influences and colors that aspect pattern. So it's a bit of a technical book and it's full of lots and lots of information, but it's also a great reference book for aspect patterns that don't get talked a lot about, like the talent triangle, which is made up of two sextiles and a trine. It's an aspect that I've noticed a lot for whatever reason among my clients and charts that I look at. And it's one of the few resources on that. So really enjoying it. Awesome. So what are your takeaways for the month?
So my key takeaway is, and I just tend to go with the general ones for each sign, and this is no different. If it doesn't feel fabulous, don't say it, do it, buy it, and definitely don't wear it. Right?
Oh, that was so good. I love yours. Mine is get out there and shine while cultivating an inner humility that keeps your ego in check while not diminishing your light. I hope you can hear the Virgo Leo blend there. I also have celebrate beauty and love and do whatever it takes to warm up your heart. Generosity of spirit starts with a healthy love of self.
Yep. And go dancing. It's yang, remember, like express these things. It's yang, super yang.
Yes, go dancing. I'm going to have to remember that one myself. I'm going to make a note to go dancing. One of my favorite meditation teachers, when he does meditation retreats, they actually start each day. I mean, you're meditating for hours and hours each day. So they actually start each session by playing really fun, upbeat dance music. And everybody kind of goes down in front of the stage and dances. You know, sometimes we're doing that at 6 a.m. And the first day I went, I was kind of hanging back. You know, I do have a lot of Virgo planets. And I was like, it's 6 a.m. and I'm going to just sit this one out. And I had a friend who did the retreat about 6 months later. And I said, let me give you a piece of advice. Just go down there right at the beginning and go for it, because it really does set the tone in a wonderful way.
It does, doesn't it? And I'll add to this too, with people, you know, some people do struggle with expressing themselves physically and people seeing them. So I think it's really worth looking at any shadow around that that does come up this season, because, you know, where there's light, there's shade, right? If you think about the sun shining, just think back and have some reflection on, well, where did you hear that messaging? Who told you that? When did you internalize it? Because, you know, obviously when you're born this little sun without any of these ideas or conditioning. So it's a good opportunity to allow that to come up and address it and dissolve that as best you can. And sometimes that's by pushing through it, you know, once you understand where it's from and decide if you want to hang on to it or not, and then just start with little things to work through back into the light.
Beautiful, beautiful advice. So what's your monthly mantra for this month?
So monthly mantra is, I easily express myself in a way others appreciate.
Love it. Mine's, the world needs me to shine my light. I love myself without reservation and share my love generously.
Beautiful. Yep.
Awesome. Well, that takes us to the end of our podcast, but I want to tell you about some things coming up with Astrology University. But before I do, what's going on in your world, Vanessa?
I don't think I said this last time. Both my books are translated into French now. So if you want to learn French and astrology at the same time, you can with those. And of course, Cosmic Power is, you know, based on the sun, so appropriate to mention. I'll be working on my third book. So it's all behind the scenes and quiet from me for a while. And what about you, Tony?
Wow. Well, good luck with the book number 3 and congratulations on the translations. That's amazing. We have our 4-year program bundle registration open for all 3 years of our 4-year program. We're starting year 3 right now, but you can also start year 1 and year 2 on August 18th when classes start. So we only open bundle registration once a year, from around mid-July through the end of August. So this time it'll be through August 30th. And bundle registration just means you can commit to 9 courses at a time, and you essentially get one free for doing that. So you save a bit of money, but you also commit to a year's worth of amazing astrology education. So contact our help team if you'd like to schedule a consult to find out if our 4-year program is right for you by emailing help@astrologyuniversity.com. Now, if you hear 4 years and you're getting a little nervous, don't be scared. You don't have to commit to all 4 years at once. And in fact, we also give people the opportunity to register for our courses a la carte. So again, if you have any questions about that, just email us. And if you want to read about it, head over to astrologyuniversity.com/program to learn more. We've just added some really wonderful testimonial videos from our students on there. So you can hear from other students about their experience in the program and on that page as well. So check that out. On July 24th, Lynn Bell will present her next webinar called Being at Home in the World, the Fourth House. And this is from her description. She shares that our initial experiences in life, our family, profoundly affect our sense of trust in the world. And these are reflected in the fourth house, a place of source and return. The fourth house reflects an emotional reality, our history, our past, and our physical home. In this webinar, Lynn's going to be talking about how planets and signs in the fourth house reflect these qualities and experiences. And then on July 31st, Cheryl Hopkins will be back to present a webinar, an evolutionary astrology webinar called Transits to the Nodes, Karmic Signposts. And this is from her description, where she writes that transits to the nodes are timely calls from the triggering planet to engage with one's karmic story. In timing, these planets allow for an opening to greater self-awareness and balance in aligning with the soul's journey. Cheryl's going to be looking at the charts of stage and screen luminaries to see how notable events in their lives engaged their soul's karmic journey. Can't wait for that one. And I hope you can join us for that as well. To see more events that are on our calendar, head over to astrologyuniversity.com/events. And of course, as always, if you have questions, reach out. We're here to help out. And thanks so much for tuning in today to the podcast. And thanks for joining me, Vanessa. It's always such a treat.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for catching up with me on our monthly meetup. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Have a wonderful season of the sun. Stay cosmic.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.